And that is not the development of right understanding. So even right now, while we talk about visible object and sound and realities, many, many in a day, because to be more confident that what is appearing now is our reality. Just a glimpse or a moment of understanding it will develop to the degree that it can be moment of precise understanding of visible object, as just like moment of experiencing sound. What's the difference? The moment of seeing and the moment of hearing.
Could we say, because we usually say that panya is accompanied by detachment, so if there's a moment of detachment, could that be a sign of understanding?
It depends, because detachment actually is atlobha. It can arise with any other level of kusala.
Yes, in most instances it would be in terms of karma objects. If we alopa, there can be towards sense objects. That's one instance when it can arise. But I'm talking about moments of understanding and not really wanting it for the self.
So now what about listening and developing understanding of elements instead of the self? We'll get closer to the meaning of elements.
Asita brought up this question from the list so that we can help others. But you said important to study reality and not self and all the self. But if we say that without any background, it's very difficult for others to understand
so
this.
So it depends on what would they like to hear, the self or the elements.
It's very difficult to bring this.
Then it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's not easy at all.
No, I mean, without a whole background.
I think that as we can study any subject, why can't we understand the subject of elements? Like citta is an element. Nobody at all.
But the eye gets in the way for most people.
That's why we have to have right understanding from the very beginning, that when there is the study of realities, it's the study of elements, only elements.
Someone wrote on our list that when there's right understanding, there is right thinking, and when there's right thinking, there's right speech, and so on. Do you have any comment on looking at the path factors in this way? It's true that when there's right understanding, the other factors arise, but can one say when there's right understanding, there's right thinking, when there's right thinking, there's right speech, and when there's right speech...
Not together?
Maybe that's the point, people forget they're together. And they support each other and condition each other.
Isn't that such thinking conditioned by self-view? It seems to be like lasting from
moment
to the end.
When it's not direct understanding, it's always thinking.
But there is a sutra, or maybe I'm thinking of the Suttimagga, where it goes through the eight factors, and it says when there's right understanding, there's no wrong understanding, and then it deals with the next path factor, and it says when that's done, and then it goes on with right thinking, no wrong thinking. And then it says when that is done. And so it goes through the eight factors in a way that could be read as suggesting a succession of things.
Can you change the characteristic of right thinking?
No.
It seems to be that when people are saying that right thinking conditions right speech, it seems to be a moment of right speech then, that the whole thing is about. And if we go on, then after right speech is what?
Right action.
Then what? You have right action and right speech together? Right? How can it be?
Impossible when the past is not Lokutra, but when it is mundane, only one at a time can arise, not all together.
Also, we talk about conventional truths and ultimate truths. So conventional truth is, this is a spectacle case and it's blue. Well, sometimes what we consider as conventional truths are not actually true, but we still consider them as conventional truths, that which is just generally accepted. Is that
right? Yeah, the last question was...
One and the last.
Does Dominasa accumulate? I would say yes, because it's Dominasa is unpleasant feeling.
And it goes together with dosa mula citta, the citta rooted
in aversion. So it's the dosa that accumulates, it's not so much
the whole
citta and
jetasika.
Yeah,
also
jetasikas.
All the jetasikas accumulate.
With kusla or akusla.
Right. I like how you described the Four Noble Truths before, that became quite clear. Just the steps of the Four Truths.
Dhammas as elements. Thank you for the comments on that. Very helpful.
But yeah, very helpful.
But it's not just a matter of thinking of dhammas as elements, is it?
Not enough.
Not enough. It's a matter of understanding or seeing dhammas as elements. So it's not something that we can practice or develop any way. No.
Panya develops at moment of hearing and considering.
Right. And the conditions for that development is just hearing and considering more about dhammas.
Carefully.
Okay. And, of course, there's always the idea of self that comes in even when one is in a situation like this. And
when one thinks too much about oneself.
I had a discussion with Lodewijk last night because he said he's distressed that he makes so little progress. And then he said, he said himself, it is then the self, and it's so silly that the self wants some result for the self. And it's really the only solution to just go on the path, he said.
See, developing, panya develops. Yeah.
I think it's the fact that citta arises as thinking and wants that is the interesting thing. It's not the self that wants it, it's thinking that wants it, conditioned by citta in a particular way.
There's also right thinking and wrong thinking.
It seems to me that it's safer for there to be no thinking, because any idea of thinking
possible
in the right way is likely to be wrong thinking.
When it's hard to, how can you have no thinking at all?
Right.
It has conditions.
But I'm just saying no intentional or deliberate thinking.
Even so, there are elements.
Yeah. It could still be self who's thinking. There shouldn't be intentional thinking.
Right. We all get caught in this trap, whatever we do.
So when is there no thinking? Like even in the jhanic state, there's no thinking there.
You mean that there is no vipaka
jetasika? Yeah. That's what I'm asking. Even in the very high jhanic states, there's a vipaka
Vipaka jetasika does not arise with the second jhana and third and fourth. Mm-hmm. The higher jhana.
With the higher jhana, it does not.
It does not arise. Mm. So no need to think about no thinking or things like that. It's not the understanding. Reality is an element.
Why I ask that is because some people think that if you can sit quietly and watch...
Is that the studying of element?
I don't think it is. But I've heard people say that there's no thinking. It's just watching. But there has to be thinking, hasn't
there? From
that
book of Tipitaka or one's own thinking, that there is no thinking.
Well, I think there are teachers. I have been to...
You mean in Tipitaka?
Vipaka,
jetasika.
That's why I asked that question.
Nobody can stop the arising of vipaka jetasika when there are conditions for
it. That's what I thought.
Yeah. That's why it needs studying carefully. Okay.
Would you like to ask your question about worldly and unworldly?
Yes. It's in the Satipatthana Sutta. And it's the one on contemplation of feeling. When feeling a worldly pleasant feeling, he understands, I feel a worldly pleasant feeling. When feeling an unworldly pleasant feeling, he understands, I feel an unworldly pleasant feeling. What does the unworldly mean?
Well, it also concerns the five senses, because word here is the five senses.
So rupa, jhana,
it has many meanings about the niramisa in Pali, translated in different way. Yeah.
Okay. So, now jhana is kusala.
Yes.
So it also goes on to say, I feel an unworldly painful feeling. So what would the unworldly painful feeling be? because it wouldn't be kusala if it's...
It depends on what is meant by pain here, bodily or mentally.
Domanasa.
Yeah, it doesn't actually...
Unpleasant bodily feeling. Yeah, but if it's concerned with jhana, then no unpleasant bodily feeling.
I think that if we try to understand just the word and don't know where it comes from, okay, the subject of samatha or vipassana, but the development of understanding is to understand anything which arises at that very moment. Otherwise, it's thinking about whether Panya knows this or that, why it's not there. As much as they can be understanding right now, what is the kind of feeling we read? See?
What is the kind of feeling we read just a moment ago?
See, you talk about worldly and worldly, but now Panya can understand what kind of feeling.
Worldly.
Yes, that's enough. And then when time comes for the unworldly, then there can be the understanding of it.
One thing for sure is only with satipatthana can the worldly or unworldly
feelings be known.
Can understand
anything in order to become detached, not to have more.
Well, that will probably apply to my next question, but it's when he breathes in, he knows he breathes, like, internally, and it also says he knows somebody else is breathing and can know the breathing alternately.
If you get close to Kun Jonathan, can you experience his breath? It's not yours, it's not yours, but it's his or the other's.
I can understand what you're saying because when I'm listening, the children I look after to see if they're breathing, I can see their breathing.
Even that can be object of understanding as not self.
When we assume that someone is breathing, there can be realities to know.
Just thinking about now, Kun Jonathan
right.
is breathing.
We cannot thinking.
Anything, any moment is so real until there's no doubt, no ignorance about realities. That's the way to get closer to the third truth.
When we refer to the fourth truth and the path, strictly speaking, we can say that the path only starts at stream entry when the eight path factors arise together, but we can also refer to path moments
Sotapattimagga-citta.
Sotapattimagga-citta, the first of the real path moments, but we can also refer to path moments now if satipatthana arises, is that correct?
The beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah.
So can one say the beginning is at moments of satipatthana, or strictly speaking, the beginning of the path?
Our beginning.
Yeah. And is this the beginning of dispersion, as we were talking about the other day? This satipatthana is also can be seen as a kind of dispersion.
What do you mean? By panya or by thinking?
Yes, just by thinking, but intellectual understanding.
Can it be dispersed by thinking?
It's interesting, really. It's not dispersion of the Dhamma.
It's only the understanding of the dispersion.
It's a bit like dependent origination. With understanding, one see there is the understanding that something conduces towards life in samsara and the opposite is the way out. So I think that this understanding of dispersion is something perhaps similar to that.
One object at a time.
Yeah.
A supa has a characteristic of a reality. Is it the same direct the characteristic as the three marks?
Is the hair a supa? The hair, is it a supa?
So thinking I can...
So it does mean that you have to force yourself to think that it is asupa. Whatever arises by conditions.
I find it interesting, Acharya, what you're saying. Through thinking I know that hair is repulsive, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and that is that we're attracted to the body. Human beings are attracted to bodies, young women or young men or whatever. But as soon as anything comes out of that body, anything oozes out of that body, we are repulsed. If we think about it, even the hair, for example, it's true, maybe you're not repulsed by your own hair, but if my hair happens to be in your food or your drink, it's really quite intuitive that we are repulsed by the body. We react when someone says that the body is repulsive by normal, but really, if we look carefully at our reactions, we are repulsed by the body. Except for the sign. We are only not repulsed by the sign. And that's what marketing is all about, isn't it? To keep the sign as strong as possible.
And how can there be the understanding of this as an element? Different elements. All are different elements.
Anyway, I know, I'm trying to answer your question. The only method that I have is consideration, to consider the elements. I don't mean in a formal aspect.
What is formal aspect? To formal. Think about...
Oh, what I meant was, it's not like I force myself to sit down and thinking super this or thinking that, but naturally just observing. These things that we're talking about is truth. It is not pretend. It is not make-believe. It's truth. So I find my mind is actually very interested in the truth rather than the sign.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. The truth, you mean the truth of... reality at this moment?
We're talking about the body, the nature of the body, the elements. Without, you mentioned the elements.
Elements, there cannot be body.
Yes, that's right, the nature of the elements. Yes.
And how can we go deeply to understand the true nature of elements?
Well,
not just body.
Well, obviously through awareness, but the only method I have to start with is consideration.
By conditions.
Yes, by conditions, of course. Always by conditions, understood, because I mean, I don't know what I'm going to think in the next minute or the next second.
When we think of the repulsiveness of the body, even assuming it's kusala, is not necessarily understanding. And if it is, I don't think we should confuse that with understanding of dhammas.
The point was, it was recognizing that birth, old age, sickness and death, and impermanence is not attractive. And that's what the Buddha said, that's his words anyway.
Can that happen even before you read about the teachings?
Of course it can, of course it can.
What's the difference between reading and understanding better than just having such experience?
Well, so even though you haven't heard the teachings, doesn't mean you don't understand.
Yes, but not about the truth of the reality.
Well, there's different levels. I mean, people can have accumulations.
That is before the enlightenment of Buddha. People could have such feeling.
The Buddha had that feeling. He
yes,
had
yes, yet. But not only that. That's not enough.
What Ajahn's saying is that concept that you have is very tamada, very plain. It's not the high understanding of the teaching
but
of Buddha.
If that's what you're saying, Ajahn, nobody's saying that it is the high teaching of the Buddha. Nobody's saying that. I mean, it's just,
what is the teachings of Buddha about? The understanding of realities as they are.
At all different
that
levels.
Is the teachings.
Yeah, but at all different levels. Just because someone says that one sees impermanence as being repulsive, it doesn't mean that one is saying that at the enlightened level. But at one level, it is a truth for them.
That can be experienced before the time of his enlightenment. Are you interested in developing understanding of reality right now?
Indeed, yes.
So we talk about it. Okay. What is appearing?
Different realities, visible objects,
one,
and
please,
sounds and
sound.
Thoughts and
how can there be the understanding of sound better and better? Because it's real. And how can there be the understanding of visible object better than just before?
Through consideration.
As
for what it is.
What is it?
Just what it is. Visible object is just visible object. Impermanence is just impermanent.
Thinking or what?
Well, thinking is one step, and the next step is through direct understanding.
If there is no direct understanding with direct awareness yet, can that be developed?
If there is no what, sir?
Direct awareness and direct understanding of reality right now. Can there be more understanding with detachment?
Not to a higher level, no.
Mm. So there should be the understanding of moments with direct awareness and moment without direct awareness. Otherwise, it's only thinking about even direct awareness, not knowing the difference at all. Can there be direct awareness right now?
There can be.
Okay. That should be developed.
Yes.
because it's the only way to see reality as it is, one characteristic on, until there is no doubt about reality right now. Whenever there is seeing, there can be understanding of that which appears, whether it's visible object or seeing itself.